Well, welcome everyone to our evening service of worship, and hello to those who will be listening later on. The announcements for this week: Monday evening, 8 o'clock in the church hall, Board of Deacons meets. A midweek meeting is on Tuesday evening at 8 o'clock in the church hall, week 4 of the Living Christianity series, and the topic is life, gender, marriage, and family. And don't believe anybody that tells you it's on Wednesday night. It's on Tuesday night. Friday the 3rd of December, then, Senior CY meets at 8 o'clock from 8 to half past 9 in our church hall. Next Lord's Day is the beginning of our new series, our new year of Sabbath school classes. We're only meeting for two Sabbath days before 3 weeks off then, over the Christmas and New Year holidays, but it's the new classes next week. We hope to have 4 classes meeting, and those run from 11 o'clock start for the Sabbath school classes, and then worship services at 12 noon and 7:30, and in the evening we have the prayer time, 10 past 7 to 25 past. And so those are the things that are on over the coming days. And a reminder of the month of December, we have offerings for Tear Fund and for the Leprosy Mission, and anything you want to give, just put it in an envelope and leave it in as an offering. Over these next 4 weeks, 4 Sabbath days in December. Well, we'll come to God now in our evening worship. We commence our worship in prayer. If you're able, please stand as we pray. Lord God in heaven, we assemble once again this evening to bring you our worship. And we do so, O Lord, as your people have done down through the generations, down through the centuries. And we praise you, O Lord, that we stand in a long line of those who have been worshippers of the living and true God. And we come to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for what we have learned of you in the Scriptures, for the things that we know to be true. And we praise you, Lord, for those who have taught us the things of God. We thank you for what we have come to understand to be the truth. And we pray that you will extend our understanding. Help us to grasp more of your greatness and more of your truth. Help us, Lord, to remember again those things that we already know, and refresh our minds. We pray, O Lord, we ask now for this time of worship, and we pray that as we come to look to your word and think on your truth, that we will benefit from doing so, and we pray that you help us to believe those things that are true and that are good. We ask for forgiveness, O Lord, for how our lives fail to measure up to what we should be as those who profess to be followers of our Lord Jesus, for those who profess to be the very adopted children of God. And we pray, Lord, that you will enable us to see our sin, to see in ourselves those things which are not fitting for those who are in that illustrious family. Help us to repent of our sin, O Lord, and help us to find better ways. Work in us, O Lord, and we pray that you will use us, that your name might be praised. We pray, O God, that you will help us now in this time of worship, and we pray all in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us read together from God's Word. I have 3 readings this evening, all from the New Testament. One from John 14, then Romans 12, and then Ephesians chapter 4. First of all, then, some words of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14. At the end of that chapter, it's page 956 in our Pew Bible. John 14 from verse 25 through to 31, page 956. The Lord Jesus is speaking. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. And then turning to Romans and chapter 12 in the book of Romans, and we read those verses from verse 9 to the end of the chapter. It's page 1009. Romans 12, reading from verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And then also Ephesians chapter 4, page 1039, and just these opening six verses in Ephesians chapter 4. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And so reads God's own true word. Well, I want to speak this evening on the subject of the peace of God. One of the things I used to enjoy when the house was fuller and the children were younger was going to the cinema to watch some of those children's films like Stuart Little and Shrek. and Kung Fu Panda and things like that. Don't get to do that these days. I wonder, do any of you remember the film Kung Fu Panda 2? And in that film, what the panda, who's the star of the show, was seeking to achieve in his kung fu training. He was striving after inner peace, and that's what the film was all about. Kung Fu Panda's striving after inner peace. Well, it's not only cartoon characters that strive after inner peace. That is the aim of many religions, many philosophies. And there is a peace that people long to have, a peace that people are searching for. And that is something that our great enemy, the devil, seeks to take advantage of. He seeks to get people pursuing peace in ways that he knows will never lead them to true peace. Instead, those ways will keep them away from the true peace that is available. In the Old Testament, in the grim days in which the prophet Jeremiah lived, even within and among God's people, the devil had his servants at work. The devil had those who were his prophets, and they were delivering a false message of peace. Jeremiah 6:14. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. There is a false peace that is offered, but there is a peace that is true. And where there is a counterfeit, it's because the real thing exists. And there is a true peace. There is a genuine peace. There is a wonderful peace that the scriptures tell us of. Part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is peace. It's one of those things that God is working to develop within his saved people. Peace of God is a good thing for us to think about. And I want to do so under three sections. First of all, thinking of peace with God. Peace with God is foundational. This is the most important kind of peace that there is. People can feel at peace with themselves. People can be at peace with other people, but if they have no peace with God, it will all count for nothing. And the peace they have will not be a lasting peace. But there is peace with God. Now, how can we be at peace with God? Well, there is only one way by which anyone can be at peace with God. And that's not our way, but it's God's way. And God has appointed one way by which sinners can come to be in a state of peace with Almighty God. And it is, of course, only through the work of God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that any of us can have peace with God. Romans 5, verse 1, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to have peace with God, first of all, you have to be justified by faith, and the faith has to be in our Lord Jesus Christ. No other kind of faith will bring you peace with God. It might help you to feel better about yourself. It might help you to feel that you're better than other people, but it will not give you true peace with the true God. It is only when a sinner comes to trust in Jesus as the one who has been punished in our place that they will find what they never knew before, and that is peace with God. And when a person finds peace with God, there is that awareness and there is that assurance of sins being forgiven, of the acceptance that God has for us. And there is that sense that now I am truly a child adopted by God. In my own life, for many years, I knew the gospel message. I understood the gospel message. I knew I needed to be saved, but I never knew that I was saved. There was no peace with God until God changed that, and that peace came. And the peace that God gives is not a momentary peace. It's not something that's there for a wee while, but it wears off. It is an ongoing peace, if it is true peace with God. It is the peace that comes from our identity as being God's adopted children. Romans 8:16, Paul says, "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." And it is a wonderful thing to know peace with God, to know that God truly has forgiven your sins, and that God is now looking to your best interests, that God is not against you, but that he is for you in every way. God's Spirit works within God's saved people a sense of peace. And the Lord Jesus spoke about that peace to his disciples. John 14:27, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives." It's not a worldly peace. "Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And in John 16:33, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." And God's Holy Spirit keeps on reminding those who are the Lord's saved people that that peace is ours in Christ. There is peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the peace that matters more than any. So there is peace with God. Secondly, I want to speak about peace within. Knowing peace with God doesn't mean that everything will be peaceful in your life. It doesn't mean that you will have a tranquil life. It doesn't mean that everything will be straightforward for you. There will be temptations. There will be trials. There will be times of testing. There will be many things that feel very rough indeed. Things that threaten to disturb our inner peace. And often it is the experience of God's people that it is the smaller annoyances of life that are the harder things to cope with than those big times of crisis in our lives. Because when we face those obvious challenges, whether they're to do with our health, to do with our family, our education, our work, we're likely to feel that we're really out of our depth in these things. And we turn to God for the strength that we know we don't have within us. And God gives us the strength for those things. But on the other hand, when it's the ordinary, mundane annoyances and interruptions in our lives, we're prone to just press on and forge ahead, get on with things in our own strength, in our own resources, and we flounder. And we lose our sense of peace. And it's no big thing that is troubling us. It's not a big crisis in life. It's just one of those little life annoyances but we lose our peace because we're not looking to the Lord in this situation. In Philippians 4, we're told what our approach should be when things are not working out. We're told there, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And what will happen? Paul says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And what does Paul say there that we are to bring to the Lord in our prayers? Well, it's not just the things we perceive to be the big things, but he says that it's in everything. It's all the different things that we are to come to the Lord in prayer. And we know that there is nothing too difficult that we can bring to God. But we have to realize also that there's nothing too small that we can bring to God. There's nothing too trivial that we can bring to God. There's nothing where we should think, well, God will expect me just to get this sorted myself. It's in all things that we need to look to the Lord. And God promises in Philippians 4, not that he will take away all the things that lead us towards anxiety. He doesn't say he'll take those things away, but he says that we will experience the peace of God, the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, all human explanation. And the reason why this peace is so wonderful, the reason why other people can't understand it, is because it's God's peace. And the things that belong to God are far greater than we can understand. There is nothing that can happen to you in life that will automatically take away the peace that is yours in Christ. God's door will always be open. There's nothing that will be annoying you or troubling you that you cannot bring to the Lord in prayer. And always the peace that he alone is able to supply, it will always surpass all understanding, and it will prove to be more than sufficient. God is able to give us peace within. We need to look to him in prayer. And when our hearts are troubled, and when we're anxious, whether it's a big thing we're anxious about, whether it's a small thing, whether it's a one-off thing, or whether it's something that just goes on and on and on, we're to bring it to him, and we're to look out for the peace of God which he is able to give. So there's peace with God, and there is peace within. But then the scriptures also speak to us about peace with others. And the peace that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit is a peace that shows itself in our relationships with other people. And that's true whether those other people are believers or whether they are unbelievers. The Lord Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And within the epistles, there are many exhortations to us to strive for peace in our human relationships. We read in Romans 12, verse 18, if it's possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Romans 14, verse 19 says, therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace. Hebrews 12, verse 14, pursue peace with all people. And God delights in the unity that his people have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And anything that God delights in, anything that God sees as precious, will be a target that Satan will want to attack. As soon as you put something up that is good and beautiful, the vandals will be attracted to it. And peaceable relations will always be something that the devil will seek to attack. Where there's anything that's good and honorable and praiseworthy and healthy, the devil will seek to engage in his kind of vandalism. And so we need to strive. The scriptures emphasize the striving, the pursuing of peace. And that needs to happen within our church, within the church of Jesus Christ. We need to do all we can to promote peace within the church of Christ. We're to actively pursue it. We're to make every effort to maintain the peace of Christ's church. It's not something we're to take for granted, where we're not to assume that our relationships will be peaceful relationships. We are to pursue peaceful relationships. And if we are not peace seekers and peacemakers, things can easily go wrong. And within our own denomination, things have gone wrong. And people have left, and people have fallen out with each other, and people have gone elsewhere, and these things can happen anywhere. And we're told that we are to pursue peace. We're not to take it for granted. And we need to remember that the peace and unity of the church, it needs to be constantly maintained. Otherwise, the poisonous weeds will grow up, which will wreak havoc. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 tells us what we need to keep on doing. We need to, verses 2 and 3, we need to have all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that there is a unity, and there is a peace that come from the Lord. And there is a spirit of breaking away. There is a spirit of independence. There is a spirit of doing your own thing that is not a good thing. The breaking up of the flock is not what God delights in. And it may seem to human wisdom that it can be a good thing. It can be the best way forward. But often it just reflects an unwillingness to be what God wants us to be. And rather than putting the effort in to living at peace with people that are difficult to live at peace with, people break away, so they don't have to live with those people. And they think they've done a good thing, and they haven't. God doesn't rejoice in that. Those who don't endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace don't have the approval of God. Within any church, there can be tensions between different people. We need to seek to deal with these in the way that God wants us to deal with these things, not in the way that suits us. The Lord Jesus Christ has to be the Lord of how we handle our difficulties and our disagreements. And when someone has wronged us in some way, we are to take the initiative and seek peace in that situation. Jesus teaches Matthew 18, verse 15, if your brother sins against you, if he's in the wrong, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. And Jesus also teaches that if you realize that you're the one that's been in the wrong, well, you're to take the initiative and you're to go and make peace. Matthew 5, 23 and 24. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and then remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. And always God would urge us to be the peacemaker rather than being the one who's waiting for the other person to come and make the peace. So God's word urges us to pursue the peace of God that is there between the people of God. But the scriptures even teach us our need to seek and maintain peace with those who aren't part of Christ's church, those who don't believe in Jesus and don't follow him. And there's a lot of that in what we read in Romans chapter 12. Verse 17 tells us that we are to repay no one evil for evil. Verse 18, if it's possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves. And verse 21, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So God calls upon us to be those who live at peace with others. As much as it depends on us, as much as we can, we are to be peacemakers. And that is part of our Christian witness. And that is something that God calls us to. And we will be tempted to be something other than this. We'll be tempted to give in to the sense of annoyance that we may feel at times. But God calls us to something better than that. In the life of the great Olympic athlete and missionary, Eric Liddell, when he was in the internment camp in Japan where he died, he was put in there with people of all different nationalities, all different kinds of people, and nobody wanted to be there. And there were lots of tensions among those folk, and there was one nationality was squabbling with another, and people were always finding things to complain about, and their lives were miserable. The Japanese were cruel in so many ways. And within that internment camp, Eric Liddell was someone who stood out and rose above all those tensions and all the squabbles and hatred. And there were many people who were disgruntled about one thing or another, but Eric Liddell was a peacemaker. And there was no one among the hundreds of people who were in that internment camp that had any complaint against Eric Liddell. One person described him as the most Christ-like person I ever knew. He went among those people. People that had every reason to be miserable and to be sad. And he sought to display the love of Christ before them. And they recognized that here's a man who has something that I don't have. And there were people converted in that internment camp because of what they saw in the life of Eric Liddell. He didn't come out of there alive. They did. They had the opportunity to live their lives. They lived their lives in the memory of that man who gave himself day after day to being a peacemaker in that camp, to educating children, to keeping the children's minds active in things that were good, to communicating the gospel of Christ to those who would listen in any way. And the fruit of the Spirit is peace. And Eric Liddell was a peacemaker, and he is remembered in a monument there in that far, far from home. He is remembered as one whose faith in Christ shone brightly in a dark, dark place, in a dark, dark time. The peace of God that is the fruit of God the Holy Spirit is a vital mark of a growing likeness to the Lord Jesus. Do you find yourself getting more easily annoyed by things? That should be a cause for concern. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, and the work of God's Spirit should be leading us more and more to have a love that covers over a multitude of sins. And that peaceful Spirit is something that is a powerful witness to Jesus Christ, from whom the peace comes. Let us be thankful for the peace of God. If you're at peace with God, that's a wonderful thing, to be able to lie down in your bed at night, knowing the sinner you are, but knowing that it's all dealt with and that you have peace with God. It's a great thing to know a peace within yourself and not be troubled by the things that you might have to face in the next few days. And it's a wonderful thing to be at peace with other people, not to be have eating away at you, a desire to cut that person down, anything like that, but rather a desire that the Lord's work might somehow take root in the lives of others. Let us value and let us pursue the peace of God, because it is a thing of beauty. Amen. Well, we come now to God in prayer. And so if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father, we praise you for the God of peace that you are. And we thank you, Lord, for that salvation of yours in which there is peace. And we give thanks, O Lord, that we can have peace with you, that we can have acceptance with you in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you for the one that has taken away all that served as a barrier. And we praise you, O Lord, for what you have done in your work of salvation. We give thanks, O Lord, that you're able to give us a peace within ourselves, that instead of being eaten away at by our anxieties, that we can hand things over to you and find and experience the peace, the inner peace that you alone are able to give. We thank you, Lord, for peaceful relationships and for the blessing that is, to be at peace with one another rather than being at war and squabbling with one another. Lord, we pray that you help us to seek to pursue the peace of the church. And help us, O Lord, also to strive to live peaceably with others as far as it depends on us. May we not be the ones that are the troublemakers, that are disturbing the peace, but rather, O Lord, may we be the peacemakers. And so, Father, we confess our sin in these things. We confess, O Lord, that we have failed to value peace with God as we should. Forgive us, O Lord, for when we have just continued to be anxious rather than looking to you in our prayers. Forgive us, O Lord, for those relationships that we have left and not worked at. And Lord, we pray that we will strive after this peace that is such a blessed thing. We give thanks, O Lord, for the church that we are a part of. We thank you, Lord, for the work of the Sabbath school within our church. And we praise you, Lord, for The classes that took place today, we pray for the new classes due to begin next week, and the new Sabbath school year, new program of lessons. And Lord, we pray that in all that will be taught over the coming months, that there will be much that you will use. And we pray that the seed that is sown will not be snatched away. But we pray, Lord, that there will be those in whom there will be a harvest, 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown. And we give thanks, O Lord, for those who have grown up within this congregation and are not here now, but have gone other places. We thank you for some who are married and part of churches elsewhere, whether it's in this country or in other places. We thank you, Lord, for those who are serving you faithfully in the places where they are now. We thank you for how they're putting into practice the things that they were taught by different Sabbath school teachers here in Karatz. And Lord, we praise you that that work has not been in vain. We thank you that there are those who are producing a harvest, some 30, some 60, and some 100 times. We thank you, Lord, for how you are able to work and bless your word so that it is very productive. We pray, Lord, for your ongoing blessing. We ask, Father, for the provision of men to serve as elders and deacons within our congregations. We give thanks for the recent election of elders in Ballyclobber, and we pray for that situation for four men who were elected. We pray that these men will be able to take on that work, that they will be a great blessing to the session there. We pray for other places where they're planning to have these kind of elections in the near future. And Lord, we pray that you would supply the men, and we pray that you will always be bringing on those who will be equipped to enter into this work. We give thanks, Lord, for the congregation of Clough Mills. We thank you for those from Karatz who years ago went to be part of the nucleus of that new work in Clough Mills. And we thank you for the recent visitation of Presbytery to the Clough Mills congregation. We thank you for many, many encouraging things there. We praise you for the fellowship that exists, for the love for one another that is there among those people. We thank you for their faithfulness in attending worship and the other meetings of the church. We thank you, Lord, for how they have been able to pay off the big loan that they had from the mission committee, that over £200,000 has been paid off, and that they've been able to do that. And Lord, we praise you for that, and for the encouragement that congregation has been within our presbytery. But we pray, Lord, that you would be pleased to use their witness, and they have a desire to see local people coming in to be a part of that work. And we pray, O Lord, that that would be the case, and that you would do your saving work there. We pray, Father, for people who live in other parts of the world, people who have many, many, many more troubles than we have. We pray, Father, for the situation in Ethiopia, and we ask, Lord, for your mercy there, that it will not lead to a huge loss of life. And we pray that you would direct things in a way that in the end will turn out to be good for your cause and for your people. We pray for the great concerns for the land of Afghanistan and all the changes that have taken place there recently, and the great danger of starvation that is there in that land. Lord, we pray for some way by which lives can be saved and spared. And we pray that people, O Lord, will turn away from the false religion that is pushed upon them, and oh Lord, that they will find what is good and what is true. We pray for the land of North Korea, and for all the things that your people face in that place. We pray, Lord, for the downfall of the communist government there and that dictatorship. We pray, Lord, that there will be a turning around of things, that there will be an opening up of that land, and that the gospel will once again be declared openly, and that the book that has been banned and kept from the people and confiscated from the people, that there will be a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God, and that people will find the truth that has been kept away from them. And Lord, that you would do a mighty work there in that land. We pray, Lord, for a great future for that land where things have been so dark under this regime. So, Lord, we pray that you would work in your mighty power. You're altogether greater than the powerful men of this earth, and you can remove them at a stroke. And Lord, we pray that you will do mighty things that will remind the other rulers of the earth that their times are in your hand, and that they owe their very existence to your patience and your continuance with them. Lord, give us the faith that we need to look to you in a troubled world, in a time of great difficulty and uncertainty. Lord, we ask that you will help us to turn to your word and to find hope and security, and find an anchor there in that which is utterly dependable. Lord, grant us that peace of God, and may it shine out from us as something that carries a message to the world that doesn't know this peace. Lord, hear our prayers in these things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the psalm that we sing this evening is part of Psalm 37. We sing stanzas 6 to 10. And the tune is Jackson 102. Psalm 37, singing stanzas 6 to 10. Rest in the Lord and patiently wait for him. Do not fret because of him who evil does, and still he prospers yet. And we're told in stanza 10, but for inheritance the earth, the meek ones will possess. They also will delight themselves in an abundant peace. And the peace that God gives, it's not a little bit of peace, it's an abundant peace. There is abundant peace to be found with God in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So we are to rest in the Lord and believe that we will experience this abundant peace of Almighty God. So we'll be singing Psalm 37, page 72, the stanzas from 6 through to 10, and we'll be using the tune Jackson 102. We remain seated as we sing, and then afterwards I'll close in the benediction, and I'll use the words that that man that we were thinking about this morning wasn't able to speak when he came out of the holy place in the temple. He would have joined with the priests in the words of the blessing, and he wasn't able to do it. And the blessing of God speaks about God giving you peace. And so let us sing his praise then. 37 from 6 through to 10. We remain seated to sing, and then afterwards I'll close in the benediction.
See the from my girl you
Now receive God's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.